Eric Burgesson grew up in the gardening business and owned Burgesson's Nursery in Fertile, Minnesota for 17 years. He's written a new book, Successful Gardening on the Northern Prairie. Eric joins us this morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning. We're moving from Beijing to Fertile.
Nice. Beijing to Fertile. That's right. We had we just had a story about Beijing. Tell us about Fertile.
Well, Fertile is, you know, we're about midway between Bemidji and Fargo. And it's a town of 800. And it's where my grandfather moved to take over my grandmother's farm and start a nursery in 1936.
Tell us about the nursery.
Grandpa started it in a peat bog, basically, raising strawberries. Eventually, he started raising windbreak stock for the prairie out here because after the Depression, there was a big move to plant windbreaks to prevent erosion, and he supplied millions of trees to that. Eventually, he went into retail, into landscaping people's yards, and then when he sold to my parents in 1970, then they made it a full-service garden center with selling vegetables, annuals, perennials, and trees and shrubs, which it still is today. People drive out, and it's retail only. We don't ship out to other stores. We just sell here at the place. And I guess there's still some of the tradition of Grandpa. He insisted on serving the customers homemade donuts. And so he had Grandma make them for a while until he had to hire a cook and then two cooks. And then that's something you can't stop once you start. So we have a lady in town who makes 1,000 dozen donuts every spring for nursery customers. So because it's quite a distance for people to drive, they do go right for the donut bin when they get here.
Yes, and you know, I've heard about this nursery for a long time. I've never been there, but tell us what it's like.
Well, right now, we're in the middle of nowhere. We're 8 miles out from Fertile. It's all tar, though, now to get there. But what we're looking at this time of year is we have a six-acre display garden with dozens of flower beds. And we've just finished planting it because we don't plant that until we're done selling the plants. But come late July and all the way through September, those gardens are something that people come. We have tour buses come. And if I may say so, I think they're quite spectacular. I don't have much to do with the work except I mow.
And, you know, you've written this new book. It's called Successful Gardening in the Northern Prairie. And in your description for the book, you say our region is ignored by national gardening media. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's very few people who live in Zone 3 where the temperature gets to 35 below. That's the measure of the hardiness zones that the USDA has produced. Secondly, I looked at a map and a soil map, and there's less than 1% of our population, probably one-third of 1%, lives in an area that's as cold as we are and has alkaline soils. And those are two co-equal factors that make it us irrelevant to the rest of the country. We have a different fertilizer requirement. Now, Bemidji, you have some acid soils around Bemidji, but within the town itself, it's still predominantly alkaline. And that's something that the populated areas of our country don't have, is alkaline soil. Like out east on the eastern seaboard, it's really acid, and they have to add lime. And their garden shows that emanate from there tell you to add lime. And there's lime in the stores out here on the prairie, and there shouldn't be, because we need the exact opposite. So I felt it was necessary to address the dual issues of soil and cold minimum temperatures.
What does alkalinity or acidity have to do with growing plants? How does that work?
It's very major. Alkaline soils, when you get above, well, alkalinity is above 7 on the pH scale, the micronutrients and all the nutrition gets locked up chemically. It's unavailable to the root. So in order to get elements like iron, which is really crucial, to the root, you need to lower the pH. Or some people pour on the iron directly, but the more elegant solution is to use a fertilizer such as ammonium sulfate, which will lower the pH and make all those nutrients available to the plant. The ideal pH for trees is 6.2, and there's almost no soil around here until you get halfway to Duluth from Bemidji that's that low. So, and that acidic. So our problem in Minnesota is also that our tap water and our water that we use for irrigating is almost always alkaline, and so it will tend to bring the pH up as you use it. So a fertilizer that acidifies is almost always in order.
Are you talking about, is this an organic kind of fertilizer, or is it just a chemical fertilizer?
You can get organic sulfur, and that will do it. So there's methods both. It's if you're watering your plants, you can use vinegar to lower the pH of your water, and that would certainly be organic.
We are talking with Eric Burgesson, and he has a new book. It's called Successful Gardening on the Northern Prairie. What about the weather?
Well, the weather here is also unique, of course. As you see on the weather map in the wintertime, there's isobars of 20 below dip below the Canadian border right at our place, you know, at Bemidji and Fertile. That has an effect because a lot of plants, like apple trees, for example, are very sensitive to the coldest temperature that happens during every winter, even if it's for only one night. And so that eliminates a certain amount of varieties. Luckily, they've been breeding varieties for the last 100 years, 120 years, that survive in Minnesota. After people don't realize that we couldn't grow apples in Minnesota till the wealthy apple was introduced in the 1800s. And from there, then we've gone on to the crowning achievement is the Honeycrisp apple, which is slightly borderline in Bemidji and Fertile because it is sensitive to sunscald. And that's another way the weather affects plants around here. Sunscald happens in March when the sun hits the snow and hits the bark of the southwest side of the tree directly, causing it to thaw and actually start the growing process before it should. And then it freezes again that night and may get quite cold. And if it does that over and over, the tenderer varieties will have their bark reduced to mush, just as freezing and thawing frozen vegetables would turn them to mush. So that's the problem with the Honeycrisp. The solution there is to paint that side of the apple tree white, the trunk, before you go into the winter, and that usually saves the tree.
So Eric, how are these things addressed in the book that you've written? It's called Successful Gardening on the Northern Prairie. How have you been, how did you decide to write this, and how are those issues addressed in the book?
The book was a long time coming, and I actually wrote most of it 15 years ago and then put it aside until I sold the nursery. I decided to revisit it, and it was interesting to see that some things have changed in 15 years. Some of our sort of common knowledge, we thought, has changed. So I put it together last winter while sitting in the cactus of Arizona, and I tried to put in between covers the most important information for our area. So I did not spend a lot of time debating tomato varieties because tomatoes don't have to make it through winter, and you can, as long as you pick shorter season varieties, you can grow anything here. So to go into the hundreds of tomatoes was fruitless. So the vegetable chapter is quite small, and some people are disappointed at that. But to me, the real thing with a vegetable garden around here is get the soil right, add organic matter, and that's the thing we lack, both in Bemidji, and as you get further west out in the prairie, we lack organic matter, and we have plenty of it in the peat bogs just to your north and our northeast, and we should add that immoderately. I mean, this year we put 6 inches of peat on our flower beds before we planted, and they're just thriving. I wanted to concentrate on what is unique to our area and what would give the amateur gardener a leg up, and discussing hundreds of varieties won't do that. Getting the soil right will.
And peat is also acid, is it?
It can be. It's not always.
Okay.
Every peat bog has a different pH, so you can't just go up back and dig it up. You have to test it.
Soil testing must be really important for us.
No. No? Actually, I guess in Bemidji you could test because you have some acid soils there out, but for the most part you know you're alkaline, and I can tell kind of the pH of the soil by driving around and seeing which trees have a yellow tint. And if the maples have a yellow tint, you know you're in alkali soil.
maples need more acid than some other varieties?
That's right, right. They suffer from iron chlorosis when the pH gets above 6.8. And you can tell that. And if they hauled in clay, for example, the maples will turn yellow, even if it was good soil for them. So yeah, pretty much most of our area, you can just bet that it's alkali. Unless you've got a spot in Bemidji where blueberries grow, then you know it's really acid.
How's your book been received, Eric?
Well, so far it seems like it was needed. And we've sold over 3,000 since May 1st, so that's a good sign. And people seem to like to read it. I've written other books, so I am able to, I think, try to make it clear without getting into too much jargon. I tried to purge all jargon from it, you know, all scientific gibberish, and make it plain. So I think it's going really well.
Where can people get it?
Well, we have stores. It's online at ericbergeson.com, and that's where I've sold most of them. And then I just last week went over to the guys at Nature's Edge in Bemidji, and they graciously agreed to stock it. So they have a case, and if they run out, we'll get them some more.
Are there other locations where people can find your book around northern Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, I've got about 20. I could list them, but that would...
Okay.
But that'd be tedious. Within your range, there's at Foston at Nord Pharmacy. Otherwise, the real market has been North Dakota because they truly are without a gardening book.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with your book going forward.
All right, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's Eric Burgesson. His new book is called Successful Gardening on the Northern Prairie, and you can find out more at his website, ericburgesson.com.